Thank you for listening to the Policies and Procedures Training. I'm Anna Herring, the Kids Ministry Director, and I have the honor of equipping you today. There's a document that goes along with this training, so please open that up and let's get started. So there are a handful of different policies we have, but the first is a two-person policy. There are always two people in any space where children are present. No volunteer should ever be alone with a child or a group of children. And the two volunteers must always have the other in a direct line of sight. If a volunteer needed to step out, they need to make sure they're not leaving another volunteer with the kids. So call the coordinator over if assistance is needed. So who is the coordinator? In every service, there is one person called the coordinator who's roaming around, checking in on classrooms, making sure you're doing okay. And if, say, for instance, a kid needed to go to the restroom, then you could call the coordinator over to help assist with that. So two eyes could be with the kids in the classroom and two eyes could be with the child who's going to the restroom, for instance. The coordinator is also available for paging parents and making photocopies if you need any extras or getting you extra snack supplies. But as far as policies go, for the two-person policy, the coordinator is there to help you specifically if you need to have two sets of eyes on a group of kids at one time to maintain that two-person policy. The second policy is our bathroom or diaper policy. Only women are allowed to assist children in the bathroom and when changing diapers. If physical help is needed, try to verbally coach the child if he or she needs help. If they need help pulling up their underwear or pants, quickly help them and then step back. Never help a potty-trained child wipe. If a child needs extensive help in the bathroom, have the coordinator, once again, there's that coordinator, have the coordinator page the parent or guardian. So basically, again, only women are allowed to change diapers and help children in the bathroom. We understand this is a double standard, but we're okay with that because if a parent were to walk by and they saw a man changing their daughter's diaper, that would feel a little different than if a woman was changing their diaper, and it would make them a little bit more uncomfortable. And we want parents to be completely at ease dropping their kids off with confidence that we will take good care of their kids. And so this is just one of those policies that we want to maintain doing that. Also, you might wonder, like, well, what age do we change diapers up to? We change up to two-year-old diapers. If a child is three or older and they need a diaper change, again, that's when we're going to call the parents and do that. We just want to make sure we're above reproach and that the safety of the child is maintained, but also if there was any weird accusations against you, that you guys are also kept safe from that as well. Our next policy is the social media policy. Reality Ventura volunteers are not allowed to take photos of kids or post them onto their personal social media accounts, unless an exception is given by the kids ministry director. So there might be some special events where we're like, hey, will you take some photos of the kids? And then we would have you send them to us. But all in all, like, no taking pictures of kids, please, and no posting them, especially posting them on your social media pages or sharing them with other people. Sometimes the kids are so cute and we want to share this part of our lives with those around us and other people in our lives, but we really want to respect families' boundaries and make sure that we're not overstepping any. So please do not take any photos of kids or post them online. The next policy is our cell phone policy. Before I get into this, really the heart of this policy is we don't want you to be scrolling on your phone while you're serving. We want you to be attentive to the kids and focused on the kids. And that's really hard when you are scrolling or trying to check out on your phone or texting somebody. We want to make sure that the kids are our focus so that we can help maintain a safe environment, but also like to help keep them emotionally safe, make them feel emotionally safe, like you're available to them. So the cell phone policy. When working with kids, volunteers must put away their cell phones while serving unless they're using their phone for volunteering purposes, such as texting the coordinator, setting a timer for a game, playing music for an activity, and so on. So you can use your phone as a tool, but please don't use it for any other purpose other than that during serving time. Now, say that you're like expecting a call or there's like a family emergency, just let the coordinator know and your co-leader know, but please, please, please keep, to the best of your ability, use your cell phone only for volunteering purposes. The check-in and check-out procedure. This one is very, very important. They're all important, but this one is very important. So this is what we do as kids are checking in to make sure that we have the proper record of them on our clipboard and you're aware of who's in the class, as well as the checkout policy when we're checking kids out so that parents are picking up their child and kids are not going home with somebody they're not supposed to. We have a million, not a million, but we have stories to go along with this to reiterate, like really paint this, the importance of this, but we're going to go over these basic things, and we just ask that you please maintain them. So during check-in, make sure kids have a name tag and their parents have a matching security label. Have their child, have their parents sign their child in on the classroom clipboard and remind the parents to have their phone out in case we need to text them and to bring their security label for checkout. So just to emphasize this, so when kids arrive, they need to be having a name tag and the parents need to have a matching security label. If they don't, you can send them to the check-ins counter by the stairs and they can get that there. And then when they come to class, make sure they have those two things. You're going to write the child's name on the clipboard and then that security number. Also take note if the child has any medical notes such as allergies, dietary restrictions, health issues. Maybe they even will have their special needs listed there. If they have any special needs like autism or whatnot, that's the parent's choice. So just take note of that and make sure you properly document on your check-in sheet the child and their number. If there are siblings coming in, we want the siblings listed separately and not on the same line. So say that Billy and Jack are brothers, they're coming in, they're getting checked in. Billy needs to be on one line and Jack needs to be on a separate line, not together on the same line. And then remind the parents to have their cell phone on them, because if we need to page them for whatever reason, even the fifth graders, say they got sick or something, we are going to text them. If we can't get a hold of them, then we're going to have to go searching for them in the sanctuary. Also tell them to bring the security label with them, because during checkout, that's going to be a very important piece for their checkout process to make it nice and smooth. Which leads us to our checkout procedure. So when a parent or guardian arrives to pick up a child, verify the matching security codes every time. If a guardian does not have the security label, find the coordinator to verify if they are authorized to check out the child or not. If a parent loses their security label or doesn't have it, what we're going to have to do, what the coordinator has to do, is like look them up in the system, make sure they're a trusted adult to pick them up, and check their ID. So it's a multi-step process, and we don't want to do that. We want it to be nice and smooth, so they just need to show the security label, and then they can pick up their child. Say that they don't have it though. How do you respond to that? Because that is like a sensitive issue, especially if parents are in a hurry or they're visiting and they just don't understand the process. Basically, you get to make me, Anna, and Karina, who's our kids ministry coordinator, kind of like the bad guy, or yeah. So, and you can put all blame on us. So what you want to do is just very nicely sugarcoat it, like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I know this is such a hassle. No worries. We're going to get this situated. So I'm going to call over Anna and she's going to verify that you are a trusted adult to pick them up. Thank you so much for your patience. I'm so sorry. I know this is such a hassle. Like totally sugarcoat it and you can make us the bad guys. That way there's no way on you and all of that pressure is put onto us because we know how to handle that. And that's just something that we don't want you to feel the burden of when parents, lose their security label. If you ever have any questions about this or concerns, please ask me or Karina, because again, the check-in and check-out procedure is a very important procedure. The next procedure that we have is our emergency procedure. So in case of a fire, earthquake, or other emergency, please take your kids and the clipboard that you have that has all the kids' names on it outside of the building to the blacktop on the corner of Ralston and Saratoga unless otherwise instructed. So if there's a fire, earthquake, other kind of emergency, our meeting point is on the blacktop on the corner of Saratoga and Ralston. This means that if you are in a classroom on the back side of the building facing the apartment, so nursery, toddlers, twos, and threes, then you will need to exit the door to the little grassy area and go around the building to the other side to meet up with the rest of the kids. Or you can go through the classrooms to get to the other side, but only if it is safe. So if you do have younger kids, so pretty much anybody in the younger classrooms downstairs, there are walking ropes available for you in your check-ins counter, which are those ropes that have the rings that the kids can hold on to in order to help keep your kids all together as you travel. If you do need to open the gate into the blacktop area, either because we need to leave the blacktop area or you're coming into the blacktop area from the other side, the code to get in and out of that gated area is 1954. Each one of the doors, the gates, has a lock on it with a code, and the code is 1954, 1954. The way that you can remember this is the address at our Goodyear building. Please, even though we are sharing this with you now, this code is only for emergency situations. Please do not use this code for your convenience to get in and out from the kids' side on a normal Sunday. It is only for emergencies only, please. If you do open the gate because you know the code, we will say, hey, please close that gate and go around the building like normal. And then it is important that when you do finally gather at the blacktop that you keep your class together until the parents come to retrieve their child. We do not want to lose kids. We don't want to misplace kids. We don't want them wandering off with their sibling in another classroom. We need them all to stay together for their safety and for us to be able to keep track of the kids. And then when the parents come to pick their kids up, when they're safely able to be released to their parents, you are going to need to have that clipboard present with you so that you can release them well. If there's a fire or an earthquake and our electricity goes out, our Wi-Fi goes out, then we will not be able to verify parents and use that check-ins program at all. So we are very, very reliant on that roster on your clipboard for your classroom. And then finally, our last procedure, which is our behavior issue policy and procedure. In order to have consistency in our discipline policy, we have a defined pathway to help the RVTA kids volunteers know what to do with a misbehaving kid. Our hope is that the way we discipline kids would reflect the gospel. So this policy, this behavior policy, is mostly going to apply for probably kindergartners and older, 5-year-old kindergarten and older. For the 2, 3, and 4-year-old kids, they're just still kind of learning how to be humans and how to function in society. So, there is a little bit more of like the natural way you would train and correct and guide a preschooler so they understand, what they're expected to do. A lot of patience, a lot of grace, and a lot of training. We don't do timeouts. We don't do any type of public shaming. We don't do anything that's going to really like shrink a child's heart, you know, make them feel small. We want them to feel loved. And so for preschoolers, just correct them and help guide them, model for them, show them. If their behavior is really, really challenging and we need help, then the coordinator can call over the parent and they've been trained to communicate with the parent, ask how we can best partner with them, get any tips and tricks that they do at home so that we can reinforce it there. So, but this behavior issue policy procedure really is for our 5-year-olds through 5th graders. So let's begin. Number one, often misbehavior is due to lack of attention, boredom, and confusion. The best way to avoid this on the front end and, excuse me, the best way to avoid this on the front end is to prepare mentally and spiritually before you arrive. Lesson plans and leader study guides can be found at realityventura.com/kids/volunteers. So again, that's realityventura.com/kids/volunteer. Just a little bit on this is if you're not prepared when you come to class, you're going to be staring at your lesson plan. And when you're staring at the lesson plan, much like as if you were staring at your phone, you're no longer connecting with the kids. You need to make eye contact with them. You need to have facial expressions. You want to have inflection in your voice. You want to know what to say, when to say it, how to say it in advance, which means you need to come prepared. So please do that. And everything you need to study for a lesson and prepare for a lesson and what to expect on Sunday is found at our church website. Actually right above these training recordings. Number two, if a child is misbehaving, prayerfully discern the cause of misbehavior, paying attention to the child's unspoken needs. Do they need extra positive attention, a short break? Do they feel left out and they need inclusion and so on? And help meet those needs if there are any. This is especially true with our children who have special needs, but it's across the board. With all kids. Sometimes a child is in a really big family and what they actually need is one-on-one attention. Or maybe a child, especially those upper elementary kids, they're feeling like they don't have a friend and they don't know how to connect with anybody and that's hard for them. Help them connect with you and help them connect with their peers. Are they overstimulated? Is it too loud in the room? Are they freaking out and they're like running in circles and yelling really loud? Chances are they have an unspoken need that needs to be met, such as maybe they need headphones or maybe they need to do something that moves their body. Try to figure that out and then help meet that need. First, prepare in advance. Second, see if there are any unspoken needs. But if a child is misbehaving, even though you've met all those needs, rather than singling that child out right away, address the class as a whole. For instance, oh, I hear voices right now. Remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. But say that if the misbehavior still persists, even though usually that gets children to quiet down and to readjust their behavior, if it still is happening because they're just so excited or whatever, rather than singling that child out right away, if a misbehavior still persists, lovingly speak one-on-one with the child. So you can say, okay, Billy, remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. So then you're calling out the child one-on-one, but it's not like public shaming them. You've already addressed them as a group. They're still misbehaving. So you single them out lovingly. But then say that the misbehavior still persists. We're on number 5. Have the child regroup or reset by separating them from the group and lovingly asking these questions. So when we say separating, we're not saying one-on-one away from the rest of the group. Not like where you're in a separate location completely and you're not able to maintain that two-person policy anymore. Still maintain the two-person policy so there's two sets of eyes and gently take the child away to the side to have this little conversation. Assistance. If you are an assistant, this is something that you really want to know because this will help assist the leader lead the rest of the class. So please pay close attention. Number one, the first thing you're going to say is, so what's going on? And then the child will answer, I'm talking, or like, this person took my toy, or whatever. Have them explain what's happening. Number two, so why did you do that? Or why are you doing that? So say, for instance, there are two kids arguing. So why did you take their toy? this, that, and the other, and they respond. And then the other person, well, why did you do that? And this, that, and the other. And they can both share why they did what they're doing. And then the third thing is, so how's that working for you? Allow them to answer. They probably don't know the answer of how it's working for them. They're probably going to try to process that and understand that question. And you're going to help them. You're going to answer and respond saying, well, the way I see it is you could be having fun with your friends or listening to the lesson or playing the game. But right now you're here talking to me and that's no fun, is it? So then number four, so what do you think you could do differently? Like, how can we proceed differently? And allow them to answer. Let them come up with a solution. If they're struggling with a solution, you can help them, but give them time to think about it and come up with a solution. And then number five, the next thing is communicate that. Well, once they say what it is, say, great, that's a wonderful idea. Let's do that. And then number five, communicate what would happen if the misbehavior still continues. So what's going to happen next is we're going to have to call the coordinator over, which is what you want to do and you'll want to follow through with. So number six, say that the misbehavior does continue and we have to call the coordinator over. The coordinator will then have this same exact conversation once again with the kids. If the misbehavior continues, the next step after that will escalate to us calling the parents. I will tell you that very rarely do we ever get past, talking one-on-one with the child, like calling them out in the class. So number, four, if misbehavior persists, lovingly speak one-on-one with the child and saying, remember, it's my turn to talk, your turn to listen. It rarely gets past this point, but if it does need to go past this point, we have a game plan in place. So it's good to come back to this behavior policy every once in a while to refresh your memory. But thankfully, the first few steps have proven to be pretty helpful for the teachers who have served in the past. So this concludes our policies and procedures training. Thank you so much for listening. And if you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns about this, you can always reach out to me, Anna, at Anna@realityventura.com. Thank you so much.